Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter number 6. And we're looking at verse number 13. Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. The prayer comes so quickly, so fast, and it's so easy to read this and breeze right through it. And there's two requests in verse number 12. And they're similar, but they're not the same, really. So look at verse number 12. And forgive us our debts. As we forgive our debtors, we've talked about that last week. Look at verse number 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so those are the two requests that are they're joined. But they're really not the same, okay? Lead us not into temptation is like an introduction or a preparation for spiritual battle. And then when you get into spiritual battle, you need but deliver us from evil. And we'll talk about that next week as we look at the final petition of the model prayer. And so we find here, this is petition number 6. And lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. The Christian is in a spiritual battle. And this is not just a once and done battle. The Christian is in a spiritual battle every day. Every day. And again, we look at that joining, that conjunction word, that word that joins us to the previous request. You see that? And. It's there. And. Where do we find this and connecting us to? Well, look at verse number 12. If you look at the previous verse. And forgive us our debts. So we learned last week that we need forgiveness when? Every day. We need forgiveness every day. And then that connects us to verse number 11. Look at verse number 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Daily. Every day. We need to trust in God to supply for our needs. Every day. And yes, we have the ability to provide for our needs. We shouldn't be trusting the government to provide for our needs. We should work hard and do right so that we can provide for our needs. But as far as trusting in the Lord, we trust Him every day. And then verse number 12, and forgive us our debt, connects us to that daily bread. We need daily forgiveness. Well, guess what? And. So not only do we need daily bread and daily forgiveness, and lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. We need to do, we need to engage in spiritual battle every day. Every day. So this means that if you experience victory over sin yesterday, that doesn't mean you're not susceptible to fail today. And this is where I believe a lot of Christians miss out on. They think yesterday's grace is sufficient for today's battles. Well, that's not true. Sure, maybe you made a spiritual decision in the past. But that spiritual decision in the past will not be sufficient to carry on if you forget it, if you neglect it, if you don't do anything about it. If you ignore it or if you forget it, you need to do spiritual battle, I'm sorry, every single day. And when are we done fighting the spiritual battle? That's right, when we die or when the Lord Jesus comes back and we don't need to fight the good fight of faith anymore because He will fight for us. And He will transform our corrupted body into something incorruptible. Our spirit and our soul is saved, but our body is waiting for the redemption. We're waiting to wit the redemption of the body. So perfect salvation is when the saved soul and spirit is encased in a immortal and glorified body, you see. That's God's perfect will for us. He wants us to have glorified bodies housing our saved and glorified spirit and soul, you see. And then we are complete in the Lord. Now, we're in the process. If you are born again, if you have entered into the Lord Jesus Christ, you trusted in Him as your Lord and Savior, well, you have a bright future ahead of you. The future is great for everyone who's born again. But that doesn't mean today is great for everyone who's born again. And that is determined by how you are doing in the spiritual battle. Let me ask you a question. How are you? Are you being defeated by temptation and sin? You know, what are you doing with temptation and sin in your life as a Christian? Now, don't say, I don't sin anymore. That's not true. And we talked about that last week. We talked about the need for God to forgive us every day, for the Lord to forgive us of our sins every day. And so it's not so that we don't sin. The difference between us and a sinner who's not saved is that we are sinners that have been forgiven. We have God forgiving us judicially forever. We're saved forever. We're forgiven forever. When Jesus died on the cross, He died for all of our sins, past, present, and future sins. In the sight of God, we are pure and righteous because of Jesus Christ. But that doesn't mean that we do not sin and that we don't need forgiveness and cleansing. We need cleansing. We don't need to get saved again. We don't need to get born again. Again, that doesn't need to happen. But what needs to happen to the born-again believer is that he needs daily cleansing of sin. And we talked about that last week. Now today, petition number 6, lead us not into temptation. This prayer is not saying, now if you think about it, you're asking God not to lead us into temptation. You might think, does God lead anyone into temptation? Okay, so let's look at James chapter number 1, verse 13. This is a very good passage of scripture and a clarifying verse to help us think biblically about sin and temptation and the Christian's relationship to sin and temptation and the Lord. James chapter 1, verse 13. Tingnan natin ang James chapter 1, verse 13. The Bible says, let no man say when he is tempted. Okay? The temptation here is talking about the satanic invitation to sin. Temptation is not sin. Temptation is the invitation to sin. The devil, or the world, or the flesh, is inviting you, Christian, to sin. It's enticing you to sin. It's making sin look good. And you're missing out, man, if you're not in sin. You're going to lose out. And you won't have pleasure and joy if you don't participate in sin. Boy, temptation makes sin look good. But let's see James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, as being enticed or drawn away by sin, that I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man. So God doesn't tempt people to do wrong. That's not who God is. Now, who is the one who tempts us to do wrong? Now guess who that is? If it's not God, it's the devil. That's one of his names. He's a tempter. So the devil, he can make sin look so good. He can justify sin. He can justify sin and say, well, you have no choice but to sin. And maybe you can sin just one bit, one little thing now, and you don't have to worry about it, you know? I mean, God will forgive. Presumption, you know? And so, but one thing for sure about God is He is not the one who tempts. He is not a tempter. And the Bible's clear about that. So, who do you blame when you're being tempted? Not God, that's for sure. Okay? We don't blame the Lord for our temptations. You can blame the devil, you can blame yourself, you can blame the world, but you cannot blame the Lord. Okay? And just keep that in mind. So this prayer, lead us not, Lord, into temptation. Help us. Help us to, don't leave us to ourselves. Don't let us just wander into temptation, Lord. We're asking God for assistance, aren't we? We're asking God for help. Help in what area? Help in the area that we don't get involved in the enticement of sin or the trap of sin. We don't even want to get near temptation, you see. And we're asking God to help us lead. Okay, and lead us not into temptation. The word lead here means to carry inward or to bring. Lord, help us, Lord, not to bring, that we are not brought into temptation. We're asking God not to permit us to get tempted. It's a similar prayer to Psalm 19. Go to Psalm 19. David prayed similarly in Psalm 19 and verse 13. Psalm 19 and verse 13. Psalm 19, verse 13. And this is a good prayer. Maybe we need to be praying this, you know. Psalm 19, verse 13. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sin. You see, you're asking God to help you. Keep me back from presumptuous sin. Let them not have dominion over me. Wow, what a powerful prayer. Have you ever prayed that? Lord, help this sin not to have dominion over me. This is powerful prayer. This is biblical prayer. I wonder how many Christians would have victory over sin and temptation if they would just simply pray the Bible, you know, and believe God. And claim this promise and ask the Lord to help. Then shall I be upright and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Psalm 141. Go to Psalm 141. Here's another prayer that David prayed. Very similar language. Psalm 141. And verse number 4. Psalm 41, verse number 4. Here David is saying, incline not my heart to any evil thing. You see that? Incline not my heart to any evil thing. Protect my heart. To practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, let me not eat of their dainties. And so this is a mighty prayer that David is asking God to help him in spiritual battle to avoid sin and temptation. David prayed that those prayers. We ought to be praying those prayers as well. We would do well, Christian, to study the Bible and to pray the prayers of Scripture, to pray the prayers of David. I mean, imagine what wonderful Bible prayers there are. And this psalm is a great book that gives language to prayer and praise. You want to learn how to praise the Lord? You want to learn how to pray? Read the book of Psalm. And it'll teach you how to pray. It'll teach you how to praise the Lord. It'll teach you how to sing. This is a mighty, mighty book of worship. And Christians need to engage in spiritual battle every day. I mean, no wonder a lot of Christians are defeated and don't have victory. They're not asking God to lead them away from temptation. They're not even thinking about staying away from temptation. They put themselves in the place where they can be tempted. Look, if you have a problem with cigarettes and drinking, don't hang around the bottle. If you have a problem with pornography, then don't watch pornography. If you have a problem with drugs, don't hang around the crack house. You can help yourself by asking God to lead you not into temptation, and don't put yourself in a place where you can be tempted. Man, you got a problem with cheeseburgers? Don't hang around McDonald's. You know, I'm sorry. I mean, I'm just saying. You got a problem? Don't hang around temptation. Here, you're asking God, Lord, lead me not into temptation. Then you put yourself in a place where you could be tempted. That's foolishness, you see. And no wonder Christians are defeated. No wonder they don't see victory. They don't even ask God for help and assistance in spiritual battle. This verse in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 13, the first part, Matthew 6:13, is a prayer of preparation. You are preparing yourself for spiritual warfare. The next part, but deliver us from evil, is when you're in the thick of the battle. This is before the battle. And you know, proper preparation prevents poor performance. You want to have victory in your life over temptation? Pray this prayer. And stay away from temptation. You do your part. You stay busy serving the Lord. Don't give occasion to the flesh. Huh? And God will help you. But you first have to ask God for help. And not just one time. Every day. Every day. This is a spiritual battle every day. Connecting us to the daily bread. You see how the chain of the chain works. Anyway, we can ask God to help us in the spiritual battle by asking Him to help us to be sober and vigilant. You remember that passage in 1 Peter? Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. Well, have you asked God to help you be sober? Have you asked God to help you be vigilant? Say, well, no, I never asked the Lord for that. Well, then how do you expect to win the spiritual battle? And you're not asking the Lord for these things. You can ask God to help you train your conscience in the right way. Look at Romans chapter 2. Go to the book of Romans chapter 2. The conscience is kind of like the compass that the Lord put in us. We kind of know what's right. We kind of know what's wrong. And if you're a born-again Christian, you ought to allow the Holy Spirit to influence your conscience. You got to train your conscience. You got to train it biblically. And so when your conscience is trained by the Scriptures, you become sensitive to the things that would hinder you spiritually. Say, oh, wait a minute, I can't watch this because this is going to ruin me. The sanctification of God will be ruined if I watch this movie. If I listen to this music here is rock music. This music here will corrupt me, you see. You're training your conscience biblically. Romans chapter 2, verse 15. Romans chapter 2, verse 15. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts in the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. But their conscience also bearing witness. Hey, listen, you can sear your conscience if you're not careful. You know, desensitize your conscience by sin. Don't do that. You know, train your conscience biblically to think biblically, to examine and discern things that are not helpful. Like, you got friends that are leading you into temptation, you might as well find new friends. You see? You have family leads you into temptation, find new family in kingdom. Avoid, you know, separate. You don't have to be a jerk. You don't have to be a punk about it, but you need to say, no, I'm not going to participate. I will not avoid church, you know, for a family party. No, not worth it, you know. I'll come to the party afterwards, you see. Or if there's alcohol in it, then I'll just send a gift. You don't have to see me there. You see, there are always ways, if you really think about it. You can ask God for guidance. Have you asked the Lord for guidance every day? You should. Psalm 20, what if you don't ask God to lead and guide you, you're going to fall into Satan's trap. Psalm 25. These are all aspects of leading us not into temptation. We're asking God for spiritual assistance in spiritual battles, you see. Ask God for guidance. Psalm 25, verse number 5. Psalm 25, verse number 5. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. You ever pray that? Lead me in thy truth, Lord. Teach me, Lord. That's another problem with Christians, especially Christians who think they know it all. They think that they know the doctrines of Scripture. They know the Bible stories. They know it all. What else is there? Well, why don't you ask God to teach you and to lead you? And maybe you'll avoid temptation and sin. I know you will. Find a church to be involved in. Find a church to be involved in. Listen, Christian, you ought to know this by now, especially if you're listening to our Wednesday night series on church. God designed the church to help the Christian. God doesn't want the Christian all alone by him lonesome self over in the corner there. No, God has a place for you in the church. He wants you to come to church, to grow in the church, to use your gifts and abilities and talents and everything that God gave you. He wants you to grow in the church and bring souls to the Savior and then disciple them into church members. And by doing that, edify the work of the Lord. There's a lot of things to do, and you need to ask God to help you be active in a church. Don't just be a member sitting down, you know. Be a servant of the Lord. Psalm 23, verse number 5. Psalm 23, verse 2. Psalm 23, verse 2. I like this psalm. Psalm 23, verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Now, God takes care of the sheep, and he prepares a place for the sheep where the sheep can get water, and the sheep can get food, and the sheep can get nourished, and the sheep can get taken care of. Well, guess what? If you're a born-again Christian, guess what the place is that God designed for you to be nourished, and the still waters, and to be fed, and to be encouraged, and to be built up, and to be useful for the kingdom. Guess what that place is? That's right, the church. And so make sure you're involved in church, okay? Ask God to give you victory over besetting sins. Besetting sins. What are besetting sins? Ano bang ibig sabihin ng besetting sins? Go over to Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Have you asked God to help you with besetting sins? Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. So, habang tumatakbo tayo sa takbuhan ng Kristiyano, Nabibigatan ho tayo ng mga dinadala natin. Kaya dapat itabi natin yung mga hindi natin kailangan para sa karera ng pagiging Kristiyano. At kasama na doon yung besetting sin. That's the sin that you need to lay aside. It won't kill you. It's not going to ruin you if you get rid of sin. It's going to help you run the Christian race. You ever try to run with extra weight? It's not pleasant. It's not easy. You need to lay it aside, and then you can really run. You know, but how many Christians are running the Christian? They're not even running the Christian race. They're maybe walking the Christian race, loaded with weight and besetting sin. Have you asked the Lord to take him away? Have you asked the Lord to lead us not into temptation? That's what the Bible's talking about. Get rid of sin. It will not harm you. Look, if you don't kill sin in your life, sin will kill you. That's a Bible principle. The Bible says, mortify therefore the deeds of the flesh. Okay, that's scripture. But if I boil it down to the basic, if you don't get rid of sin, sin will get rid of you. It's kind of like a bag of potato chips. If you don't put it away, you're going to end up putting it away. Anyway, have you asked the Lord that God would put it in your heart to hate sin? Have you asked the Lord to put it in your heart to hate sin? Look at Psalm 101. Psalm 101. Psalm 101. And verse number 3. Psalm 101, verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. So, have you asked the Lord to help you? Lord, let not this thing cleave unto me. I don't want to set anything wicked before me, because that will destroy the work of sanctification in a matter of seconds. A lifetime of sanctification ruin in a matter of seconds. You see, that's how powerful sin is. Psalm 119. Look at Psalm 119. These are things you can ask the Lord to help you with. Psalm 119, verse 128. Psalm 119, verse 128. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Ask God to help you to hate sin in your life. Look at verse number 163. Psalm 119, verse 163. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Ask God to help you love the law of the Lord. Ask God to help you hate lying, and don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to others neither. Just hate lying. You know, ask God to help you with that. Ask God to help you to love righteousness. You know, help me to love righteousness. Go over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Verse number 9. Romans chapter 12, verse number 9. Bible says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Okay? Ask God to help you in those areas. Ask God to help you not to be flattered by the world. The world will try to flatter you. The world will say, wow, you know, you're such a nice guy. You're such a good Christian. Just come over here and hang out with us a little bit. Well, look at Psalm 5. Psalm 5. Beware of the smooth talker. You know, Satan is a smooth talker. I mean, he can make sin look good. And here we are, we're just sheep for the slaughter. We're dumb sheep heading for the slaughterhouse of sin. But Psalm 5, verse number 9, Psalm 5, 9, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Remember that when the world praises you, when the world thinks you're so great. Remember what the scripture says. There is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher, and they flatter with their tongue. See, not everything that glitters is gold. Sin can look so good, and yet if it's sin, it's against the Lord. It'll destroy you. Having prayed from cleansing, remember the request before this one? What was the request before this one? Forgive us of our sins. Having prayed for God to forgive you, it ought to be the next thing that you would ask God to help you not get into sin. You just asked Him for cleansing. So then why would you go back into sinning again? So it makes perfect sense. Lord, forgive me and cleanse me. Now, Lord, help me not to get back into sin, not to get back into temptation or put myself into temptation. We're asking God not to leave us to ourselves. We're depending on the Lord. That's why we must pray against temptations. I hope you're doing that. I hope you're doing that. Do you know that we are in constant danger and trouble every day? Oh, today everybody's crazy about the virus. Man, you need a test, you know, just to make sure you don't have the virus. And man, you want the vaccine. And man, you got to have a mask, you know, because that virus is around the corner, man. I mean, it'll get you. And you got to wear a face shield, you know, because, you know, that's really going to prevent. It's not 100%. Nothing's 100% because that virus is a microbe. And that thing will get you. Man, the whole world is on lockdown. All because of a virus, man. Nobody wants the virus. And I don't blame anyone. Nobody wants the virus. But why is it that the world is careful about a virus, but Christians are not careful about sin? And Christians are not careful about temptation. And Christians are not careful about praying against these things. We Christians are in danger every day. In danger every day against sin and against temptation. We are in trouble. As long as we're in this world, Jesus said, in the world ye shall have tribulation, Jesus said. Okay? But He leaves us with His peace. He leaves us with His joy. We're not defeated. Okay? But we need to pray and ask the Lord to help us. This petition is in the negative, and lead us not into temptation. And then the next petition that we'll look at next week is in the positive, okay? But deliver us from evil. And we'll look at that next week. This is preparation for spiritual battle. And Christian, let me ask you a question. How are you doing in the area of preparation? Do you prepare yourself every day for spiritual battle? Or do you just roll out of bed? You know? Roll out of bed. Whatever happens, happens. You know? No, I think we need to examine this prayer here. Jesus' prayer. Teaching us how to pray. And we need to make sure the moment... Look, sin wakes up an hour before you wake up. You understand what I'm saying? You cannot just afford to go through the day and not think about the impact of temptation and sin. And so we're asking God to help us. And this is part of the spiritual battle. Preparation. You have a better chance of winning if you're prepared. And this prayer here is a prayer for preparation for spiritual battle. We'll talk about the spiritual battle next week. All right, on the last petition, the seventh petition. But these are the truths of Scripture. Let me encourage you, prepare yourself for spiritual battle every day. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the truths of Scripture. We thank you for the reminder that we are in constant danger, that worse than the virus. And it can be prevented if we would exercise ourselves in these things, Lord, in this prayer. Help us to be praying Christians, Lord, and alert and sober. Help us to be training our conscience biblically. Help us to in guiding us, Lord, being involved in our local church, being involved in getting rid of sin and in hating sin and loving righteousness. Help us, Lord, not to listen to the flattery of the world. Help us to live for you and prepare us for spiritual battle. And we'll give you praise, honor, and glory. And we thank you for your guidance in this area, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, so salamat po sa pakikinig din niyo sa salita ng Diyos. Nawa, matutunan po natin ang mga katotohanan na ito, lalo na sa spiritual warfare natin. All right, God bless you, and you are dismissed. Don't forget. That's right. Don't forget to wash your hands. All right.